This is Energy Issues and Answers. I'm Dave Thompson.
This is part two of our series about reclamation. But before reclamation can happen, wells have to be plugged. Here again to talk about it is Lynn Helms, North Dakota's Mineral Resources Director. Lynn, let's talk about the necessity of plugging and doing proper plugging.
So it's necessary when an oil or gas well reaches the end of its life that it's properly plugged, because that well, primarily, it goes through everyone's drinking water. And number one priority when we're plugging a well is protection of the underground sources of drinking water. And plugging a well can be just as complicated as actually drilling the well. At the end of a well's life, a lot of times the producing formation has very low pressure. All of the pressure has been used in getting the oil and gas out of the formation. Or it may be at very high pressure because someone has pumped water in or pumped in carbon dioxide or something to remove more oil or gas. And so those differences in pressure between the rock formations have to be taken into account. The cement that's used to plug the well is very, very dense. It's a special grind of cement called Class G cement. And North Dakota rocks have very high temperatures. Our wells can be deep, and we have high temperatures. So we actually have to add silica flour or ground-up sand to the cement so that it will last for hundreds or thousands of years. Otherwise, it deteriorates at these high temperatures. I say it's very dense. It weighs almost 16 pounds per gallon.
Oh.
And the water that we're using to pump it in with weighs anywhere from 8.5 to 10 pounds per gallon. So when you're doing all the calculations about getting that cement in the well and having it stay in the right place, you have to understand how to pump a balanced plug, it's called, and how to place it there using tubing so that it stays where you want it to be in the wellbore.
Now, this is not like just putting a cork in a wine bottle. This is a lot more complicated than that.
Much more complicated. We use a series of mechanical plugs and cement. We actually pump cement into the original producing formation. And sometimes if we find that the well casing has gone bad over decades of production, we actually perforate holes in that casing and pump cement in to those holes to make sure that isolation occurs up and down the wellbore. In North Dakota, there's some formations that produce nitrogen at high pressure. Those have to be isolated. There's formations that are used for industrial purposes, maybe producing geothermal energy or saltwater disposal. Those have to be isolated. And then, of course, that top section is most important. We fully isolate the drinking water from the top and the bottom. So nothing can go down the well to get into your drinking water, and nothing can come up from below and get into the drinking water.
How many wells will have to be plugged during this project that we've got going with the reclamation?
We anticipate plugging about 400 wells during this project, and that's a massive effort. The normal year in North Dakota is 100 wells, and so we're going to quadruple that number of what's normally plugged in the state of North Dakota in a given year, and we're going to try to accomplish all of that in a six-month time frame as well. So we'll quadruple the number and double down on the time that it's going to take to do them.
Since you mentioned time, how long does it take to actually plug a well? And how big a crew do you need to plug a well?
Those are great questions, Dave. And depending on the depth of the well, it can take anywhere from 3 to 5 days with a crew of 15 to 20 people working on the well. There are truck drivers bringing cement and water and hauling water and maybe waste oil from the well bore away. There are people bringing in tubing and hauling away junk tubing. And then there is the rig crew itself, which has a blowout preventer on the well and is actually moving material in and out of the well and placing those cement plugs.
Now, just to clarify, though, a lot of these wells do have oil and gas in them, correct?
That's correct. They've been sitting for years idle. And so the wellbore will have a mixture of oil, gas, and produced water in it, and that has to be circulated out of the well and hauled away to a waste oil treating plant before the cement and the proper water can be put in there. Remember, this is the last time anyone's going to see this wellbore. And so we want to make sure that it's absolutely properly plugged, that the right fluids are in there, the right cement, and it's in the right place.
Since you're talking about a crew of about 15 to 20 people, it takes several days, 3 to 5 days. How many crews are going to be out plugging at any one time?
We estimate that we're going to have 20 crews working at the peak of this project. So we'll have 20 wells going at once. And in North Dakota, we require that every single cement plug be witnessed by a state inspector. So before they plug the well, they have to submit a procedure to the Oil and Gas Division. Our senior district superintendents will review those to make sure that it matches up with the well file and approve it. And then as they follow that procedure, they're, of course, going to find surprises and changes have to be made. But every time one of those cement plugs is set or a mechanical plug is put in the well or something that's not on that procedure is done, we require that there be a state inspector there to witness that happening. We trust, but we also verify. And since this is the last time anyone should ever work on this well, and we want to make sure that drinking water is protected, we want to absolutely do it right.
How far below surface is the plug itself? I mean, how the top of it?
We cap these wells about 4 feet below the surface. We want to make sure that it's below plow depth.
Okay.
And so the top cement plug is set at 4 feet. The casing is dug out and cut off, and then a steel plate is welded on there. And then we have the welder inscribe on that plate the well number. So should somebody dig it up a few decades from now or encounter it somehow by accident, they'll see that number and we'll be able to identify what it is that they have found. We've actually had some plugged wells that have been excavated in the process of coal mining. And so they've had to be re-plugged. That surface plug has been redone so that the coal could be mined and then the well could be properly plugged.
I know this is probably maybe an unfair question, but how much does it cost per well to do a plug?
It averages approximately $75,000. Some wells can be cheaper, and then some can run into hundreds of thousands of dollars if particular problems are encountered. If we encounter one of those during these 400 wells, we will probably stop those operations, make sure the well bore is secure, and move on to another well so that we don't have one of those 20 crews end up spending weeks out there trying to plug one well.
Now, are these mostly the older wells that are being plugged?
They are, Dave. 70% of these wells were drilled before 1985, and some of them are 70 years old. So they're very, very old wells. And when you go on a well like that, you're not sure what you're going to encounter. The equipment that was in the well has probably corroded to a great extent. The casing may be in poor shape from years and years of production. And so all that's considered when we plan the plugging, but changes have to be made as the plugging takes place to accommodate that.
So there is a formula for doing this, but it can vary then by, I suppose, positions of the well, how deep the well is dug, that type of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, the formation that it produced from, how deep it was, what size was the casing that was placed in the well. Did they cement it really well when they originally constructed the well? Or are there some situations where there isn't enough cement behind the casing and we need to make sure that a geologic formation is isolated? Back in the early days, the 1950s, 60s, even up into the 70s, they were not as careful about how they cemented these wells, and they didn't run as much surface casing to protect the drinking water. And so these wells are more of a challenge to plug.
What will people actually see any evidence that a well was there once everything is done?
Dave, if we do our job right, they won't. If you go on the Oil and Gas Division's maps or you look on Google Earth and you spot where some 11,000 wells have been plugged and reclaimed in this state, our goal is that you see no evidence that there was ever a well there. And so the only record will be at the Oil and Gas Division or if you used a magnetometer to pick up that casing 4 feet below the surface of the earth. But if we do our job right, Any evidence that there was ever oil and gas production there will be reclaimed or remediated and taken off the map.
Now, we've talked about this, and it's probably worth repeating that part of the reason for doing this is to keep 1,000 people perhaps employed in the oil industry, but another part of it is to return this land to agriculture land.
That's right, Dave. So the two primary purposes are to put roughly 1,000 people to work on this project over the last half of this year. As you know, the unemployment in March in western North Dakota was about 2%, the unemployment rate. By April, that had increased to over 9%. And we know now that there are almost 11,000 unemployment claims in western North Dakota. So we're going to put a big dent in that by putting a lot of these folks to work for the second half of this year. But just as important is there's over 2,000 acres, almost 2,500 acres of ag land that's currently occupied by these abandoned wells. By the end of this year, we hope to have that back in agriculture production, either being grazed or farmed or recreated on.
Okay. So very good. Anything else that we'd like to add at this point?
Just that the project got started last week. Thursday, we rigged up on our first well. We hope by the end of this week that we have all 20 crews out there working. We're making sure that the landowners are contacted and they know what we're doing and that we need access to that old well site and that their concerns are being taken care of. They may have a particular route they want this plugging crew to follow, particular things that they're concerned about, protecting a stock dam or something like that. So we're making sure every one of those landowners is contacted before that rig moves in there.
All right. In part three, we'll talk about the reclamation itself, what happens, and what happens after reclamation is finished. I'm Dave Thompson.